Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to our everyday lives. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now, here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
What am I trying to hide? And why do I keep on waiting when I know it's on the other side? It's time to let the light in, let the light in.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
Last week, we talked about covenants, right? You guys, the covenant's kind of a Christianese term, you know? A lot of people out there, if you start talking covenant, they're like, who are you? I don't know what you're talking about. What is a covenant? And I wanted to build on that and teach you about covenants and how they work a little bit today and share with you. Because how many guys, if you look in Hosea 4, 6 in your Bible, says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So you are actually experiencing destruction in your life because of a lack of knowledge that you have about certain things that have been given to you by God. You have a covenant, a promise. We learned that last week, that God has made a promise to you in Christ, his son. And everywhere I've looked in the last month, it's all been the Lord sharing with me about how to be in Christ, not to be for Christ, not to be about Christ, but to be in Christ in our lives. And that is what I want to talk to you a little bit about. How do we get in Christ Jesus? I think we can all figure out how to be for him, you know, just tell people about him. Do all that. But how do we get in him where we are so hidden in Jesus himself that healing can't even, I mean, that sickness can't even find its way to us in our lives? That we are so hidden in Christ that our minds don't know how to stay on anything but things of God. And we can't get depressed. We can't get discouraged. You know, we can't fall out of the grace of God because we have been so set in him that nothing else matters. Amen. That's what covenant is all about. And that's what I want to talk to you about, because we have a blood covenant with Jesus, with our Heavenly Father through Jesus. And the goal is that we would be one with him. Now, I'm going to jump around in my notes a little bit. Good luck trying to follow me. But how many of you guys remember when you were kids, back before, you know, HIV and all that crazy stuff, but you were like, we're going to be blood brothers. And you would actually, you and your buddy, you cut your hand, you know, a little bit, and then you joined hands together, you know. And if you were a girl, you went, with the little thing, and you guys went, and you touched fingers, right? But you're like, we're blood sisters. And the guys, we're blood brothers now. Yeah, brothers from another mother. Not never again separated. We've been mingled, right? Together. And how many of you guys know that Jesus is our blood brother? We've been mingled together, his blood with our blood. And guess what? Our blood didn't win. His blood cleansed us and healed us and took care of it. And he made a covenant, a promise to us in his own blood. And I want to share with you today about that. Because in a blood covenant, in the old days, you would exchange names and each participant would add a part of their name to the name of the other person. You would actually change your name and add each other's name to each other's names. And you'd be one together. Member A could actually speak on behalf of the other covenant member. And it was no different. If you were talking to them, you were talking to me. If you were talking to me, you were talking to them. Well, how many of you guys know it's like that now? In our relationship with Jesus, you see, we are Christians under the covenant. We have been set in blood that we have the same rights, the same privileges. We are his ambassadors. We are, when you talk to us, you are talking to God. So I'm like, wow, that's a little bit of a stretch. That's what I'm saying. See, you're perishing from a lack of knowledge. That's the way it really is. When you make a declaration, when I pray for people up here, I am praying for them not because Kevin is such a good guy, because that wouldn't do them any good. But you see, I've been taken and I've been placed in Christ through the blood covenant. We've been joined together. Now, when I speak, it's Jesus speaking. When I speak in alignment with his word, of course. You know, and when I speak and I declare something in authority, it's no different than if Jesus was there himself. Scripture says, right? What does Scripture say? As he is, so are we in this world. Somebody say amen, because that's way bigger than you think. You know, we are under a covenant in his blood. Why do you think the world is so enamored with bloodshed? I'm going to share this with you today, and I'm going to reveal to you why blood is so important. In Matthew 26, 28, it says this, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So why are people so enamored with bloodshed and all the horror movies and all of this stuff that's going on? Because blood actually has the power, listen, to remiss sins, to cover sin, you know, and to actually, the blood of Jesus, to fully remove sin. So that's why there's this big push towards blood and bloodshed and all of that. But I love in the scripture, it says that this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. You know, it doesn't say that it's shed for everyone. See, there's a secret. This is the knowledge that causes people to perish, is that you have to call on the name of Jesus and get under a covenant and be brought in him, in his relationship through covenant before this will happen. You can't enter the new covenant unless you enter it through actually receiving the gift of grace in Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you receive that gift, it's like Jesus joins with you in every right, every privilege, everything that he does, you now have the ability to do because you're his ambassador and you are under his covenant. You are in him, so it's just as if you were him. That's the way the covenants worked in the old days, and that's the way it still works today, because God's the same yesterday, today, and always. So you are under covenant. You know, Jesus' desire through covenant was to bring us what? Life. What does John 10:10 say? The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life. That they may have life. Who's they? Those who will enter into the covenant. If you're not under the covenant, the thief's coming and he's going to steal and he's going to kill and he's going to destroy you. But I have come that they might have life. How do we experience that life? We get under the covenant and then we recognize who we are in Christ and we begin to, at that point, take authority over our lives and begin to administrate the gospel over our lives. This is powerful. So, you know, Jesus has come that we might have life. Is it just physical life? So we can just be alive? Is that why he came? Or is there spiritual life as well? Is it physical or is it spiritual? Huh? Who says it's physical? Tim, good job, bro. I set them all up. See, none of them raised their hand. It's both. They're like, oh, I'm going with spiritual because we're in church. It's both. He's brought us life. So let's look at this. Let's look at this, because why blood? What? It's special, and you need to know this and understand this. You see, blood has the life breath of God in it. When God formed Adam from the dust of the earth and he made him out of this shell and he fashioned and formed every part of his body. He's just laying there like a little shell, you know? He wasn't alive. He was just a shell. We've seen people at funerals. They're just the shell, right? And it says that God breathed in him the breath of life. And he became what? Living soul. Think about that. Leviticus 17:11 says this. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Why is the world so enamored with blood? Because it has the power to make atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. You cannot be atoned for by any other way than blood. So here we have the devil who wants to be God. He wants to be like God. He wants to exalt his throne above God's throne. And what does he want? He wants to steal your atonement. He wants to steal your right standing with God. He already tricked us into sin, and he stole our authority in the earth. But Jesus became, you know, a man. God became a man and took back our authority, and now he's ready to give it back to you through the covenant that he's trying to make with you. All right? But the enemy stole all that, and on top of that, he's trying to steal the ability for you to be atoned for your sins, because you got forgiveness and he didn't. Hallelujah. And he's mad about it. So he's like, I'm going to steal the forgiveness through every possible means that I can, and I'm going to pollute everything that I can and distract them in any way they can to keep them from making the decision to come under a new covenant with God that will totally wash them clean and give them nothing dark, but all will fill them with forgiveness and let them be forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven. Do you believe it? But see, life is in the flesh is in the blood. You know, if you take your blood out, what happens? What happens? You die, right? You can't live without blood. You know, and that's what God did when he made us alive. But, you know, I want to look at blood from the Bible and kind of pick it apart a little bit. I'm going to go into teacher mode a little bit. I know I don't teach. I like to preach and, you know, it's more inspiring and exciting, but you guys need to learn this. So I'm going to click over into teacher mode for a minute. I'm going to be back at the university, and we're going to have a little class. You ready? You guys are like, I'm ready for lunch. Pastor, worship is long, man. Now you're going to teach us? There's not even manna from heaven. There's no donuts today. Yeah, it'll be all right. Manny, you miss donuts, don't you, buddy? So here's the thing. We can conclude that life of every living creature is in the blood, right? See, God made creation and there's blood in every animal, right? So there's life. And when we sinned, literally all of the earth was cursed through that sin, and the bloodline of mankind and every animal, everything, that bloodline was polluted with sin. So God, in his great mercy, took a virgin and he became a man. And he was born of a virgin into the world. And Adam sinned, and through his transgression, sin entered into us all, right? Through one man's offense, sin entered into the world. But through one other man, God-man, Jesus, born of a virgin because the bloodline is of the Father, right? Was given the same blood that Adam had in him before that he sinned. He gave him the same blood, the original life-giving blood that was breathed into the breath of life of Adam was put in Jesus as he was born of a virgin. And now that's why his sacrifice is acceptable to God. Because it's the pure blood. And when that blood is applied to our lives, it washes us and makes us back into the same people that we would have originally been before we had sinned. Does that make sense? I know I'm going deep here, all right? Guys, hang on. But, you know, it's a heavenly substance that carries the breath of life in it. So now we're talking that blood is the atonement. That without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And in the Old Testament, we would kill these animals, but their blood was still polluted. It still had that curse of sin on it, so it could only cover your sin for a little while. It could only cover it. It could only make it temporarily okay with God because he had to accept it because there was no other way he could do it. And that's what the first covenant was. The old covenant was through the blood of animals and goats. And they would kill them and then it would cover their sin. But now under the new covenant, Jesus became the Lamb. That's why he's the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. God always knew we were going to eat of that tree. He always knew we were going to fall for the sin. And he always knew we were going to need to be redeemed. And that's why Jesus was always the plan. Think about that. Romans 5:17. For if one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Amen. You're going to reign in life? You got to get in the covenant. Hallelujah. Hi. I'm all over it. Moving around a lot. So look at this. God killed that first animal and sacrificed it over Adam and Eve in the garden. You know that, right? That was the first forgiveness and that instituted. It wasn't an Old Testament when the law and the Ten Commandments came. This was all the way from day one when Adam and Eve sinned. God slayed an animal and he covered them in the blood of it. And that's where, we see this animal sacrifice continuing throughout the Old Covenant and trying to cover the sins, but it wasn't enough. We needed a once and for all atonement to take place. You know, Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. That's, what is atonement? It's satisfaction or repairing for a wrong or an injury. It's making amends. And God knew you could never make amends for your own sin. So he who knew no sin became sin for you so that you could become the righteousness of God in him. So, you know, this is such an important teaching. I'm gonna read a portion of scripture in Hebrews and then we'll call it a day. It's going to take a little bit, but I want you to see that this covenant is established in Scripture and it's yours. And if you will apply it to your life, healing will be available. Deliverance will be available. Forgiveness will be available. Everything that you need will be washed and cleansed off of you. And you can actually live your life with the peace of God and the power of God flowing through you if you can simply understand this one thing, and that is how to get in covenant with God through the blood of Jesus. So Hebrews 9:13, we're almost there. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctifies for the cleansing of the flesh, right? How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. You guys are running around tormented in your minds, and God's like, I can cleanse that. I can purge your conscience. All that garbage that happened to you when you were a kid, when you were abused by whoever, all those things that you did that nobody knows about but only you, and you condemn yourself, that the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. You've got to get in this new covenant. You've got to allow the blood of Jesus to purge your conscience, to wipe you clean and let you know that you're okay in spite of yourself. You realize it says this, look at this. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God? Do you know that when Moses went into the temple in the old days when they slayed the animal, that he literally, it says he sprinkled the blood on the altar, he sprinkled it on all the elements and the table in the temple, and then it says that he sprinkled it on the people. Imagine if you came to church and I was like, hey, we're having redemption day. Get the blood out and just start sprinkling it all over you. It's hitting the wall. And, you know, it'd be a CSI nightmare in here. That's what they did. Look at this. For this reason, he's a mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the violations that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive what? The promise. What did we talk about last week? The promise is a covenant of eternal inheritance. For where there is a covenant, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when people are dead. For it is never enforced while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses, listen to this, to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats and the water and the sprinkling and the book itself and all the people, he sprinkled it on the book. And they said, this is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you. This is the old covenant. And he sprinkled it all over the tabernacle and the vessels and the ministry. And then almost all things are cleansed with blood, he said, according to the law. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So you want to be forgiven today? You got to get under the new covenant because Jesus has already forgiven you. He hung on the cross. He was crying out. His blood was crying out for your forgiveness. How do you know that, Pastor? Because it says over here in verse 4, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself? What does that mean? The eternal Spirit. What is eternity? Anybody ever think about eternity? What is eternity? Is it a bunch of time? Because time is revelations of the earth and months and years and all that. It's the sun and the earth spinning around. Does that have anything to do with heaven? So there is no time in heaven, right? Because time's just circles of the earth. So there's no time in heaven. So here we see that in heaven it's just now.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the fellowship hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net.
know Jesus is the way. I just know Jesus is the truth. I just know Jesus is the life. Oh, I just know Jesus is my God.
Love rock music? Love Jesus? If we got the place for you, join us for God's Rock. That's right. God's Rock is a rock music service with a relevant message held at 7 p.m. every first Saturday night of the month at Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. You can get more information at godsrock.life or call 321-749-7234. The venue's located at 1250 North Banana River Drive. Why should the devil have all the good music? Those upon the rock, we salute you.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.